A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 136. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Out of the Unknown. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This was a BBC anthology series that ran for 4 series that came out between 1965 and 1971.
That's right, and it featured adaptations of absolutely classic science fiction stories from some of the biggest names in science fiction at the time, and in fact of all time. So we've mentioned some huge names as we've gone along, and right at the top we have the name of Sidney Newman, and in a way this was yet another one of his godchildren, another program that he had a hand in at least initiating, Brian.
Yes, he had a hand in creating many British shows like The Avengers and Doctor Who, and this was one of them as well. And you can think of this series as being a bit like the original Twilight Zone, but in a one-hour format, and of course it being a British series, and most of the episodes, at least in the first 3 of the 4 series, were based on short stories from science fiction literature.
And as we've said, from some of the greats of science fiction literature as well. It's fascinating.
Absolutely. So getting into series 2, we talked about series 1 last time. There were 13 episodes in series 2 that ran in 1966 and 1967. Unfortunately, only 4 of those survive. The others are missing.
And interestingly, we have a note that the scripts for the second season of Out of the Unknown were closely monitored after an instruction from Sidney Newman himself, following complaints from, guess who, Mary Whitehouse and her National Viewers and Listeners Association. So the scripts had to be watched carefully that they didn't contain too many adult themes. Although looking at the stories that were covered in season 1 and season 2, I'm not quite sure what her complaints were about, Brian. But anyway, there we are, Mary Whitehouse complaining yet again about a British science fiction program.
It's been a while since we've talked about her, but she certainly did have complaints to make about the level of violence and nudity and scariness and various religious related things in a wide variety of British television shows, notably Doctor Who and The Omega Factor, but many others as well. And this probably would have been one of the earlier ones that she was complaining about.
Yes, can't have been that long after she set up a National Viewers and Listeners Association, but there you go.
So series 2 included The Machine Stops, which was by E.M. Forrester, an interesting story there.
Yes, possibly one of the most famous episodes from all 4 seasons of Out of the Unknown. This adaptation of The Machine Stops. You can watch it. The quality is not great, unfortunately, but certainly is one of the best remembered, I think, episodes. As you say, Brian, with big names involved yet again, gives you an indication of some of the sort of people involved.
Yes, absolutely.
Last time we mentioned another season 2 story called Level 7, a story written by Mordecai Rochwald but adapted by J.B. Priestley, the famous English writer and playwright, and directed by Rudolf Cartier, who we know and love from Quatermass and 1984. And that's a good episode to watch from season 2. Unfortunately, another episode that we'd like to have been able to have watched no longer exists, and that's an Isaac Asimov robot story called The Prophet. I think Isaac Asimov has the sort of record for being the author most frequently adapted in this series, Brian. He has three or four stories, I think, that get into the four seasons.
Yes, there are a number of them there.
And the interesting bit of trivia from the story The Prophet, that although the actual episode itself doesn't survive, we know that the robots featured in that story do survive in some way, because they were then reused for a Doctor Who story. It's the same robots that turned up in the Doctor Who story The Mind Robber.
Yes, that's right. They used the same robot costumes and repainted them for The Mind Robber. And I believe Out of the Unknown also reused props from Doctor Who occasionally. I haven't seen that because I believe that was from the episodes that are now missing.
Right. But yes, I should imagine that the production and design and the special effects team were swapping some of the sets and props backwards and forwards a little bit at this time. Completely understandable.
Yes, absolutely. So moving on to series three, they did 13 episodes in 1969, and they were in color, which was relatively new for the BBC. They had been doing some things in color, but for a 13-episode series, that was a relatively new thing. And unfortunately, only one episode from Series 3 survives in complete form.
Yeah, that's right. An episode called The Last Lonely Man by the science fiction writer John Brunner, brought to the screen and directed by a Doctor Who regular director, Douglas Camfield, who I think we've talked about a few times here on British Invaders. That's the only episode that survives that you can watch. The quality isn't all that great, but it features a couple of interesting performances, one by George Cole, and then the other one by a sort of regular, again, here on British Invaders, Brian.
Peter Halliday.
That's right. And it's an interesting story. There's a sort of, not exactly a mind swap, but there's a process that they undergo, and it has some interesting twists and turns.
Yes, it is a very good episode, actually. I quite enjoyed that. And the performance, particularly from Peter Halliday, is quite compelling. So interesting stuff there.
Okay. There's another episode called Little Black Bag, which is about a medical kit from the future sort of falling back through time and being used by a doctor in the present day, with interesting results. And about 30 minutes of that episode survives. So you can sort of watch it and get an idea of what's going on, although it does cut rather abruptly in a couple of places. But that's interesting.
Is the ending there?
The ending is there, yes. Although it jumps to it very suddenly and you have to try and fill in what happened. But yes, the ending is there. And then the other episode from season three that we wish we could have watched was the Random Quest episode, the adaptation of the John Wyndham story, directed by Christopher Barry. We talked about this in the last episode and also when we discussed Random Quest from 2004. So another interesting one from season three.
Yes, for sure. Now, Series 4 was in 1971, and this one was actually quite different from the earlier seasons. By this time, Irene Shubek had moved on to BBC's flagship drama series, The Play for Today, which was definitely a very big deal, but it meant that she was no longer dealing with as much science fiction.
That's right. It's a shame in a way, because it did lose some of the science fiction themes and certainly lost some of the big names of science fiction literature that it had in the first three seasons. But as you say, Play for Today, that's the big slot, or certainly was then the big slot on BBC. So, you know, it's unsurprising that Irene Shubek moved on when she had the chance. And we got some other people taking over. We got Alan Bromley became the producer and Roger Parks became the script editor. Alan Bromley did direct some episodes of Doctor Who, and we know that Roger Parks wrote for Blake 7, but different sort of behind the scenes personnel taking over and producing a different show, really.
Yes, it moved much more towards the supernatural and horror type ideas, and was much less a hard sci-fi show like the earlier seasons had been.
Yeah, that's right. So this time we've got 11 stories, and all but one of them were original pieces for television. So they're not adapting classic science fiction, they're doing new stuff. And as you say, Brian, it's become horror and supernatural. And also the show sort of looks and sounds different as well.
Yes, it definitely has much more the feel of a 1970s show rather than a 1960s show. It's quite a definite difference there, it seemed.
And it gets a new theme tune and a new title sequence as well.
That's right.
So it's almost like the final season of Out of the Unknown, it's almost like it's a different show altogether in a way. A new theme, a new title sequence, and these sorts of horror ghost stories instead of science fiction that we'd previously been looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had, of these 11 stories, six of them still exist. And I don't think it went to sort of a real hard horror like the Hammer Horror series did, but it definitely leaned towards being like a supernatural anthology series.
Yes, okay. We picked out a couple of episodes. Again, in the last time, we suggested you might want to watch Welcome Home. A very interesting episode, quite an interesting story, and a fantastic central performance by Anthony Ainley before he would go on to play the Master. And we quite enjoyed that one, I think, Brian.
Yes, I think Welcome Home, of the six Series 4 episodes that still exist, Welcome Home is the most science fiction styled of all of them. The others all lean sort of more towards the supernatural, and that one has a little, it definitely has a bit of a sort of spooky, almost horror kind of feel, but it has a bit more of a sci-fi tone to it as well.
Okay, there's also an interesting episode called The Man in My Head, which again I think is quite well remembered. Unfortunately, the quality of the recording that we've been watching is not that great, but that's an interesting story about a group of soldiers who've had some form of psychological programming enabled to carry out certain tasks, and it's not clear whether the program is working or whether it's breaking down. And that's it's an interesting science fiction concept, but as I say, unfortunately the recording quality that we've been looking at is not that great.
That's right. There was also a body swapping episode, straight up sort of body swap type episode in the fourth series. And it was not bad. It had some interesting ideas in it.
Yes, that's the episode, This Body Is Mine, which, as you say, the body swap, the mind swap program. Interesting stuff. And again, some interesting performances in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, I'm Katie Manning, and I play Jo Grant with John Pertwee. And also, actually now, Matt Smith. And I just want to say, British Invaders, the podcast all about British science fiction television. Sounds good to me.
So we should talk about some of our own feelings in a bit more detail, the good, the bad, and our favorites. So, Eamon, what did you like in Out of the Unknown?
Well, we like to talk about the writing and the ideas, and we have to say that, you know, some of the writing here is fantastic. We've got these huge powerhouse names of science fiction, particularly in the first three series. We've got some great adaptations of their work, and the ideas, you know, some hard science fiction ideas up there on the BBC. It's quite powerful stuff in places, Brian.
Yes, the first three series had some very good stories in them, and I think the choices of short stories that were used in many cases were very good choices. And you really had some good ideas and things that made you think, and some really good sort of core science fiction ideas and things that made you question different things and different ideas that were involved. So that was really quite strong in places in this.
Okay. direction and performances from the actors, we've got an anthology show, so I suppose we've got a lot of variability, Brian. We've got some, you know, quite a lot of different approaches throughout the four series.
Yes, that's true. And I think of all the shows we've covered, this is one of the ones that changes the most from beginning to end. Putting aside the very long-running things like Doctor Who, if you compare what they were doing in the first year or two and what they were doing in the fourth, Out of the Unknown, it's like a different series.
Yes.
And I think I liked that version they were doing for the first three series much more, because it got into these wonderful sci-fi ideas and used some of these great short stories for these various shows and had some really neat things in there.
Yeah, absolutely. There is some great stuff in there. As we say, you've got to accept that this is a very variable show in a way, because you're dealing with completely different story each time and a different cast and crew behind it. So you're going to see some quite different styles and different takes on science fiction.
Yes, absolutely. You do have some very different styles. I think for the most part, I don't have many complaints about the performances in most of them. There were some very good performances in some of these, and some sort of decent and respectable performances in most of them, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's an amazing cast list throughout, and I'd say, yeah, the performances, pretty much all of them, are very enjoyable. I didn't really notice any performances as we went along that that stood out for the wrong reasons. So no, it's good stuff by the actors. We've got the production values, we've got sets and special effects, costumes and model work, which a lot of it, I guess, is of its time, Brian, I think.
Yes, it is. And some of it holds up very well. Some of the more ambitious things when they're out on spaceships and what have you doesn't hold up quite as well. But all in all, I think it's pretty reasonable. And considering what it is, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I did notice that there's a couple of episodes that seem to stick to the 60s and 70s idea for science fiction, that in the future we'll all wear blonde wigs and identical jumpsuits. That was slightly unusual.
You do have a little bit of that, yes.
But that's all right. You know, it's one of those science fiction standards, I suppose.
Is there anything you want to point out as far as negatives, things that you were disappointed with in this series?
Well, for me, Brian, I think, you know, as we've discussed as we've gone along, the only real negative is that less than half of it survives, and the stuff we've been watching is of such poor recorded quality, so that the visuals and the audio are poor, and it's just such a shame that we can't actually see more of this stuff, and certainly that we can't see the stuff that exists in a better quality.
Yes, that's absolutely true. In some cases, the video quality was such that it was a little bit hard to see facial expressions and things like that. So it was definitely something where the audio and video quality were compromised. And I believe that was not always because of the quality of the archival copies that exist, although some of it may be. I think a lot of it was due to just the circuitous way in which we were able to get a hold of these, because there has not been an official release. And I would love to see an official release where they would start with the best archival copies they have and maybe do some of the most basic restoration they do, not the full-out, more costly things they do with Doctor Who, but to do at least a little bit of basic cleanup for it and release it in some way. That would be very nice.
Yes, absolutely. It is one of the negative points. And it's, you know, perhaps it's an economic decision. It does seem strange that we have this great piece of British science fiction history that it's not available. A bit like when we discussed Doomwatch, that there'd be no official DVD release of the whole series or what survives. And we'd like the same for Out of the Unknown in some form. And as you suggested in our last episode, maybe that could be some form of digital on demand release but we'd love to see it and we'd love to purchase it.
Absolutely. I think the only thing that I can say as a negative point about the original productions is that some of the earlier 60-minute ones were a little bit slow in the pacing. And some of that is just of its time, and some of it is affected by the fact that it's a little bit hard to watch the quality of these recordings. But I think a few of them that were not quite as strong were a little bit underpaced. But for the most part, these were really solid shows, especially in those first three seasons.
Okay. It's interesting that you're bringing up the pacing issue here, Brian, because normally it's me who brings up that.
That's true. Normally I do rather enjoy the slower pacing, and I do in a lot of these. And I think the video quality is definitely part of it, because it can be physically difficult to look at that for 60 minutes in some cases. But there is definitely some very good stuff here.
Absolutely, yes. It's very interesting. And the names involved are just fantastic.
So I think that brings us nicely to our recommendations. Eamon, what would you like to recommend for this one?
Do you know, Brian, this one is an incredibly tough one for me to make a decision about. If we had a decent release with some reasonable quality, then I think I would be absolutely recommending this to our listeners. But because it's so hard to watch it, and because we have that slight hesitation about the fact that we're watching unofficial stuff that's of very poor quality, I don't know if I would recommend it entirely to our listeners. I would certainly say, if you're interested, go back and check out the three episodes we suggested as a sort of form of homework at the end of our last episode, and see if they pique your interest for the rest. But be prepared that some of this quality gets, in terms of video and audio, gets worse from then on. So it's a very guarded recommendation from me, Brian. What about yourself?
Well, I certainly sympathize with what you're saying, and it's quite unfortunate that we don't have better quality copies of this to look at, and more easily available official copies. I will say, if you enjoy 1960s shows, if you enjoy this type of short story adaptation and classic 1960s fiction, if you can get a hold of these or see one or two on YouTube, check them out. There is some really good stuff there. So I will actually give somewhat guarded, but definitely a recommendation for this.
Okay. And as ever, we would really enjoy and appreciate it if you comment, get back to us about this show. If you remember it from the 60s and 70s, if you watched it more recently, or if you decide to take us up on the challenge and watch those three or four episodes that we've particularly recommended as we've gone along, then please jump in on the webpage or on the email or on the Facebook group and tell us what you think. While we're on the subject of Facebook, I'll point out that Robert tells us that, in his opinion, Out of the Unknown was the best serious science fiction series ever made for television. So certainly a strong recommendation there. And as ever, we'd like to hear your views.
Yes, most definitely. So, in summary, Out of the Unknown was an anthology science fiction series that had a total of 49 episodes that were not related to each other. They were separate stories with different cast and crew involved in them. Many of them, especially in the first three series, were done as adaptations of classic 1960s short stories with names like John Wyndham and Isaac Asimov and Frederick Pohl. And these were adapted to these 50 or 60 minute black and white or color TV presentations. And then later in the fourth series, it was more supernatural, almost bordering on horror type stories, that were originals and being made for television in the early 70s.
An interesting show with some fantastic names involved. Please let us know if you've been playing along what you think.
Yes, please do.
And of course, come back and join us in our next pair of episodes when we are jumping forward to ITV in 2007, and we are looking at a new interpretation of a classic story. We're looking at Jed Mercurio's adaptation of Frankenstein.
And this is one that is a little bit different, that I will tell you that in this version of Frankenstein, the main character, the creator of the monster, is not called Victor Frankenstein. So there's something interesting to look at next time.
Little teaser for you straight away.
There you go. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. And we are also part of the Geek Culture Network. If you go to thegeekculturenetwork.com, you will find British Invaders there. You will find some other interesting podcasts there as well.
And you'll also find us and several other interesting shows on the Voice of Geeks streaming radio network, which is at vognetwork.com. We have a slot there, which is a fairly recent thing, and we welcome on board any new Vogue or Vogon listeners. Welcome aboard, guys.
Absolutely. Welcome all Vogons. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. And until next time, this is Eamon from England saying goodbye.